to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Hello, my friends. It is that time of the week, the time you've anxiously been awaiting. It's the time when you grab the mothers, the fathers, the sisters, the brothers, the boyfriends, the girlfriends, and if you're so inclined and you feel bold and daring, gather them all around the old tube radios. It's time once again for that weekly culinary journey down the road to excellence, better known as Truth Theater of the Mind Radio, Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs. We are listened to by thousands and streamed around the world on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town, and you know, they actually have podcasts of our shows on there, too, so you can now go online, check out their very cool and hip website, and catch our podcast. And if you don't want to go there, you can go to Podbean. You don't want to go to Podbean, you can go to iTunes. We're everywhere, my friends. This week, our mobile kitchens finds us at home, a place of peace and tranquility. It is, of course, the Big Green Egg Retail Center in the heart of Tucker, Georgia. And for those of you who don't know where Tucker is, look it up on the map. Chef and the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chefs, are proudly brought to you by the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. And by Schumann Real Sweet Onions, by Schumann Produce. Of course, now they are the leaders in Vidalia and Peruvian Sweet, but it's Vidalia season, my friends. We are right in the midst of it. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, they had a big onion cook-off, which Chef and I were invited to, but unfortunately, due to our hectic travel schedule, we're unable to be there. But it was, of course, during the great Vidalia Onion Festival in Vidalia, Georgia. And if you ever get down there, there's one place we can recommend to go to, Rub Twos.
Ruby Tuesdays.
Well, no, the sign said Rub Twos.
Well,
that's because all the lights were out, and it said Rub Twos. And I was trying to figure out, what the heck is Rub Twos? But anyway, my friends, check it out. And remember, if it doesn't say Schumann Real Sweet Onions on the bag or the tag,
it ain't.
You got that right. Okay. And also, my friends, we have seen we've seen some of the rough cuts. Chef Eric.
Yes.
We have a potential here for what? I have no idea.
I have no idea for what.
But yeah, a potential. You know, I saw the baked bean one. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I did see it. And you know what? It's kind of funny because I really thought we only had a face for radio, and now I'm sure of it.
Yeah, well, it confirmed, absolutely.
It's totally confirmed.
Once we get the recipes, in fact, I ran into the president of Big Green Egg while we were down in New Orleans, and he said once it's, once we get them up and the original cuts and everything else, they're going to post them on the Big Green Egg website. So can see, Rub Twos. I got Rub Twos in my mind now. I'm not going to be able to get rid of that. Anyway, my friends, Real Sweet Onions and by Fee Brothers. Fee Brothers, of course, has probably been mixing it up since 1863. They are the leaders in the cordial syrup industry. Also, of course, the bitters business. No one is as bitter as they are because their bitters make your drinks that much bitter.
Better.
Bitter.
No, that's...
See, I like that.
That's
very
just
good.
Just a play on words there.
And by DiscoverIreland.com and Tourism Ireland. Why not take the trip of a lifetime? You know, there's nothing like Ireland in the summertime and in the early fall. Man, if you can get over there, it makes the pub crawling through Dublin's 964 bars and pubs a lot easier because the weather's a lot nicer. If you'd like to know more about it, go to DiscoverIreland.com and let your journey begin. And, of course, the Hotel Monteleone, the crown jewel of the French Quarter. And Chef Eric and I are going to regale you with tales from our trip down there for French Quarter Fest. It was wild. It was crazy. It was unique. And it was super. And, of course, Operation Homefront, they are the ones that take care of our troops' families when they're overseas fighting the good fight. They are the ones truly supporting the families of our troops. So why not take a few minutes and help support Operation Homefront? Joining me as he does each and every week, he is the gargantuan of delicious, the biblically.
Where are you going with this one? Where is this one going?
I had a great line, but the FCC wouldn't approve it. So we'll just put it this way. When it comes to incredible food, we are talking, of course, Executive Chef Eric with a K, Holdo.
Hey, thank you very much.
Well, you know, I got to make sure we get the K in there.
Yeah, yeah, that's always important because people might misspell it and then where would I be?
How many times do you get upset about that?
Never.
You lie.
I don't get upset.
Because the very first time we met is K.
Well, because you were trying to spell it, and I think you got caught up when you started with A. I said, no, it's E, and then it went downhill from there.
What are you trying to say? Anyway, well, we're going to have to talk about New Orleans Cup. We just concluded French Quarter Fest a couple of weeks ago, and, oh, man. Oh.
You know what? It's so great to be down there. And French Quarter Fest is just such an awesome experience.
They broke the half-million mark.
574,000. That's
right.
Absolutely incredible.
And we met some great people while we were down there. It was absolutely amazing. It was a ton of fun. New Orleans is an amazing city, my friends. If you ever get a chance to go, you definitely want to go to New Orleans because New Orleans is really, it is the heart and soul of America. I mean, you get the best, the craziest, the wildest, the most incredible music, food. It's just all over an awesome good time.
And there are so many fests to choose from. I mean, there's really an incredible variety. So something of interest is always going to be available for you.
You really can't go more than a few weeks without some kind of super festival coming up and something going on.
Absolutely.
But, Chef Eric, we're joined today, of course, by the Papa Peppers. He was going to join us, but there are a couple of conflictions for him where he could not make it down there. But I have received official word he will be joining us at Tales of the Cocktail, speaking of another great event down in New Orleans.
Oh, yes.
At the end of July, Tales of the Cocktail, 25th through the 30th of July. Make your plans now, but you better try to book early for the Hotel Monteleone because they are booking fast. And last year, by the end of May, or the middle of May, I guess, they were all booked up.
All done. Right.
Yeah, all done. So just something you ought to take advantage of. And, of course, today is officially National Homebrew Day. National Chocolate Custard Day. National Holden Day. Also, Totally Chipotle Day. And I guess probably the most famous thing to remember about today is Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
Which is literally whatever it is. But I know you would know, Chef Eric, because I understand your first language growing up was what?
It was Spanish, actually. My family was from Argentina, which is nowhere near Mexico, which celebrates Cinco de Mayo, but that's okay.
Well, could you understand each other?
Actually, I'll tell you what, there is sometimes a little bit of a challenge there. There are different styles of Spanish, but I did grow up speaking Spanish first and learning English in school, essentially, total immersion. And
now you can't tell.
I just went down to El Salvador and was able to communicate just fine, so I haven't lost it.
Where is Wendy's? Where is Pizza Hut?
Oh, no.
How do I get those tacos?
I'll tell you what, the tacos is the thing. And actually, one of the recipes we're making today is based on the recipe that was given to me when I was down there in El Salvador by the taco man. So we're going to do a tacos al pastor, which is a pineapple sauce that goes along with the pork. It's actually marinating right here, but I'm going to show you how to make the marinade. And then we're going to cook it up and make some fantastic tacos with it.
Well, joining us today also, the bon vivant of culinary in the area, the food blogger herself who has some very interesting things and sometimes is the loneliest person at her own parties. I mean, because people may say they're going to be there and they don't show.
Well, that's
but
just
she's
that's
there,
just flaky
so
people.
The party's there. Wherever Miss M is, the party is. And the delightful Miss M is there, and I'm sure she's got some neat place to tell us about or some adventure that she's had culinarily, because she's always, either that or we'll ask about her potted plants. She's into the plant thing. You know, she's really into, she tries to eat some of the plants.
Let me tell you, the thing I'm interested in hearing about is the food truck event that you went to. No?
Yeah,
not so much?
We might pass on that one.
See, I think that's one of the most promising things. I mean, it's so popular in other parts of the city, but sometimes I guess it doesn't work.
Well, we'll find out. Well, we'll just let Miss M always knows what she wants to talk about because she's full of it when it comes to great places to go and great things to eat. I mean, who could have told us about Monkey Donuts?
I actually knew about Dutch Monkey because Dutch Monkey is right up the street from where my daughter goes to school.
But you never shared it with anybody.
Well, that is merely because it is so ridiculously good and tasty that you just don't want people knowing too much of it.
I guess there's got to be a reason why you would call your business a Dutch Monkey.
They're Dutch.
Well, are they monkeys?
No.
No?
I don't know.
See? Boy, you're on a roll with Ms. M today.
I don't know. everything is like, No.
One thing you won't say no to is I know the Papa's excited. It is National Homebrew Day. And I'm sure, of course, he loves all those foofy beers. You can't understand.
I love.
Again, to wrap your mind around the incredible Bud Light beer.
Again, equine filtered is difficult to get my arms around. But
yeah, well, anyway. But since today is Cinco de Mayo,
tell
us, let me guess, Irish stew is not on your menu of the day.
On my Cinco de Mayo menu? No, I wouldn't think so. Although I'm sure something important happened in Ireland on Cinco de Mayo.
I'm sure it did.
But, what we're going to start with, as I said, is the Tacos al Pastor.
Who?
Tacos al Pastor.
Do you have to do it? Tacos al Pastor. What are you trying to sound like the guy? Corinthian leather.
It's very, very nice.
I just thought I'd say that.
It's really an interesting, and it's a common thing that you probably have at a taco truck or something like that, if you've ever gone to one of those. Then we're going to do some bacon lollipops.
Bacon lollipops?
Well, in reality, they're jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon.
Ooh.
With the top is wrapped in bacon. And
oh, nice.
They're going to be stuffed, though, with cream cheese and some dates and some manchego cheese.
Oh, thank goodness it's manchego.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Velveeta would probably be better.
Third, we're going to do some roasted chicken on the egg, and we've already roasted up some tomatillos. We're going to make a tomatillo salsa, and we're going to do a nice chicken taco with tomatillo salsa, and then we're going to finish up with an empanada, which is a traditional dish, and this is the meat that I've been preparing in the background here with I'm using Italian sausage, ground beef, and...
Is that like the girl from empanada? Well, when we come back, my friends, it's more food, more fun, more exciting culinary as we celebrate Cinco de Mayo right here on Chef and the Fat Man. We're going to tell you the history. We're going to give it to you all. Stick right here. We'll make your ears bleed and your waist expand. Welcome back, my friends. Chef and the Fat Man live from the Big Green Egg Retail Center. Oh, my God, the excitement is building as Chef Eric is playing with his food. Or preparing it, I guess, is the chefy term. But you had a whole bunch of stuff in a bowl. Why don't you tell us what you were doing with that? And tell us where we're at, because there are people around here drooling on themselves, and it's kind of rude.
So what we did is we started out by sauteing some real sweet Vidalia onions from Schumann Produce.
Oh, man. My friends, real sweet Vidalia onions, if it doesn't say real sweet on the bag or the tag...
It ain't.
It ain't. So right. Check them out, Real Sweet Vidalia Onions, the sweetest onions your taste buds will ever be titillized.
So I did a little dice on those, and I
nice.
Added some butter, browned the butter, and
any
got
kind
it a little
of butter
bit,
in particular?
And actually, I used, in honor of you, since it was Cinco de Mayo, and I figured you were going to be up to your eyeballs in Mexican food.
Yeah, I was going to take a salsa bath before I came in.
One little attribution to your Irish culture. So I did Kerrygold Irish butter.
It's the best.
It's a very good butter. It's like any European butter, has lower water content. And as a result, you can brown it and you get that nuttiness. You don't get a burn in the butter. Anyway, we sauteed the onions until they were translucent. Then I took some hard-boiled eggs, about four of them, sliced them up, diced them, added those in to the, after the onions, I'm sorry, I added half a pound of ground Italian sausage and half a pound of ground beef.
Could you have used chorizo? Or is that too spicy?
It's not necessarily greasy. Too spicy, but the problem you get into using chorizo is that it has a very high fat content, and it's going to drain out that fat, and it's going to try and drain it into the empanada, and it's going to make it all sort of
mushy.
So to give it a little bit of a different flair than a typical Argentine empanada, I'm also, besides the hard-boiled egg, which I added four hard-boiled eggs and diced them, added that into the ground beef and the onions and the Italian sausage. I also roasted on the big green egg, or the Papa Peppers did actually, some poblano peppers. And poblano peppers have such a great flavor when you roast them on the egg. And we're going to add that in there just as a, and it's sort of a rough chop. It's going on the inside of the empanada, which is a pastry. Yes?
Do you have Cinco de Argentino?
I'm sure there is an Independence Day in Argentina. I don't really remember what day it is, but...
Well, we're going to have the history right here on the show.
We have a Cinco de Mayo here.
Yeah,
well, 4th of July.
But. Yes, but see, that is the... And I'm glad you tried to lead... See, I see you leading me down that trap. See, I'm going to let him say Independence Day. He's going to agree with me, and I'm going to launch on him. No, my friends... Cinco de Mayo really isn't. See, he thought he's going to catch me, Em.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, see, he thought I didn't do my homework. We're going to have the history of Cinco de Mayo. Once you find out what Cinco de Mayo is, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, I thought it was Mexican Independence Day.
Oui, oui.
No, no. Sorry, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
So anyway, if you guys are done.
Yeah.
Okay. I added the poblano peppers in there. I've added in a little bit of paprika. I've added in some red pepper flakes. And I'm just going to mix this all up. And this becomes the filling for our empanada, which we're going to do later. So it has to be very cool so that it doesn't, first of all, it doesn't leach out any oil. It'll sort of stabilize and be ready to be wrapped in the pastry. And also, we don't want it too hot so it doesn't start cooking the pastry from the inside.
Well, that's nice. So could you, like, stick it in the fridge and really cool it down, or do you just let it cool down to room temp?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Papa Peppers is going to be doing that for us right now.
I'll tell you what. He is the man today, isn't he?
On the ball.
Always on the ball. Now, Chef Eric, I see that you have one of the neat accoutrements you can get here at the Big Green Egg Retail Center. You have a jalapeno rack, and when we come back, I'll bet you, I'm going to go out on a limb, you're going to use it.
I bet you're right.
Huh?
You're so insightful.
And you know what? I'll tell you, since it's so exciting, and since you're on such a roll, why don't you keep going? Because those peppers are, jalapeno peppers are a lot of fun, and they're not, when they're, you know, done properly, they're not a scorcher.
Absolutely. We've already seeded them. So what I did with the jalapenos, and I've got more to do here in a second, but we take the jalapeno, you just cut off the top part, cut off the stem essentially. And when you buy here at the Big Green Egg, the jalapeno stand, it comes with a little knife that has sort of a curve to it and a serration on the end and allows you to sort of just twist out all those seeds, drop them right out, drop out the pith from the inside. What I used instead, and in a pinch, you can use just a butter knife or a plain table knife, and that doesn't cut up the jalapeno too much, and it works well to seed it. So we went ahead and seeded the jalapenos. And now I'm going to go through the process of trying to mix softened cream cheese with dates. And the only way you can kind of do this is by getting your hands on it. I'm trying to do it through a
Ziploc bag.
And we'll see if it works. But you really want to incorporate them together. And then as we do that, we're going to add in the Manchego cheese.
Which is always a good... Now, what is Manchego cheese? Let's compare that to, like, Swiss cheese.
Well, would you like to try some?
I think I will.
So,
thank you.
This is a Spanish cheese and is a...
Pungent.
It is slightly pungent. It's not a hard cheese. It's sort of a semi-hard or even a soft cheese. It has a... A little bit more gamier flavor, a little bit more of a, almost a, I don't know, Camembert or something like that.
Does it melt very well?
It melts very well, yeah. And there are different varieties of Manchego, though, that you can get. It's certainly can get here. The engineer would like some. There you go.
You know, it kind of looks like a little bit like a Parmesan,
but it's much softer.
It is
much softer than Parmesan.
There goes your.
Yeah, there goes the rest of the Manchego. But I'm sure the Papa Peppers can tell us more information about Manchego.
I can't tell you. I was going to ask you if it's goat milk or...
It's sheep's. Sheep's milk. Mm-hmm. Correct.
You've got to be kidding me.
Although I use it, there's some in my refrigerator right now, I just absolutely haven't...
How do you milk a sheep?
How do you milk a sheep?
You put it up on a tall stand.
Yeah, they've actually got... Just like when our sheep's get sheared at my farm... you know, you put them in a little stand. Actually, it's hard. What? You're looking at me like I'm nuts.
Do you milk it after you shear it?
No, we don't milk them, but I'm just saying the way you would milk it is when it's in a shearing stall.
You have to have real teeny little hands, or they sometimes use children.
You know.
I think we're now grossing out.
Yeah, no. Now that cheese you're talking about, could you like make that? Could you like melt that and get nachos in it?
Yes.
Oh, I would love that.
I suppose you could.
Well, I think nachos go perfect. After all, it is Cinco de Mayo, and what's a Cinco than nacho?
Yeah, something made in America.
So?
Well, okay, that's fine.
You know.
I like made in America. That's good. Mm-hmm. So, we're just, you got to really work hard to incorporate all this. And
how about
I think
a food processor?
That would overcut it. That would
A KitchenAid bowl?
A two-hour cleanup for a three-minute job.
Yeah, exactly. So there we go. That's about good enough. It's not a little bit of a messy process, but you get
you're
the flavor.
Pipe it in there.
I was going to pipe it, but I'm not sure it's going to flow easy enough. Well, we'll give it a shot.
I mean, all you're going to do is if some falls off on the side, there you go. So you just tighten it up. Look at that. And, of course, he's not using a piping bag.
No, I'm going to use a Ziploc bag, of course.
And, you know, that's one of the great things about what did we do? What could Julia Childs have done if she would have had some of the things that we have today, like Ziploc bags? She could have done some amazing things, I'm thinking.
She already did.
I know, but could you imagine Ziploc bags and ABT? ABT racks?
Yeah, that's right. She already did. But
he was piping it. Now, don't be scant on those.
I'm not going to.
I like to eat. See, I want to eat when every bite.
Chef
I want
Eric,
to
Eric, you can hand that over to him and let him give it a try. It's,
no, it's too much work.
Real knowledgeable there.
Yeah. No, because I have to serve it to people. Yeah.
So his name is on the bag. Well, you know, my friends, we're telling you that Cinco de Mayo is not. Many, many people confuse Cinco de Mayo with September 16th, which I won't even try to say in Spanish, which is actually what they consider their Independence Day. This was really a major battle against the French. See, you know, you almost got to kind of like them for that right off the bat. But anyway, we're going to give you the history of what Cinco de Mayo really means. And thank goodness it was our Mexican friends that came across the border that really got it excited. The only ones that got excited were those that came across the border, and also those in the little town where the battle took place are still pretty excited about it. All that and so much more right here on Chef and a Fat Man and Blue Collar Chefs as we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo, and we hope you go out to your favorite Mexican restaurant or make these recipes at home, do it yourself. But remember one thing. We practice all the time on this show. It's safe drinking. Have a designated driver if you're going to be imbibing. Be safe. Have fun. When we come back, Chef Eric is going to finish piping his peppers. It's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life. Cinco de Mayo, everybody. The Spanish version of St. Patrick's Day. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. I mean, I hope you're having as much fun as we are. It's just unbelievable. Chef Eric has just really been having a lot of fun with his piping bag that he created out of a Ziploc bag. And really, it's a pretty easy way to do it, clean way to do it. And basically what you do is just what, Chef Eric, to make it into a piping bag?
Yeah, so essentially you just, you know, you mix up everything in the bag itself, in the Ziploc bag. And in there, just to refresh your memory, we had cream cheese, chopped dates, and make sure there are no seeds with the dates, you know. But chopped dates and Manchego cheese that's been shredded. And I mixed that all up together and then piped it in by sort of squishing it all down into a triangle part of the bottom of the bag. And at the very end, you just cut off a tiny little bit, twist the bag to sort of force the mixture down in, and then just pipe it down. And just make sure that the cut you make at that corner where you're going to force the stuff through, make sure it's a pretty small cut. If it's too big of a cut, what's going to happen is that the bag is going to begin splitting at the seam, and all of a sudden, as you're putting pressure on it, it's just going to go splat. So in order to prevent that, you make it a small enough little hole, but it's got to be big enough for the pieces of date to squish through. As you're piping, when you get like a date or something else, if you've put a different mixture in there, if it hits and blocks the end of the tip, all you have to do is use your finger and just sort of squeeze it down at the bottom there, and it'll pop out, and it'll free up the rest of the tip.
Well, what I really appreciated about what you did is you piped those in there so that you had the mixture all the way down to the toe of the pepper.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't. Yeah. I know some people, they just pipe it till it fills up, and they don't make sure that it gets all the way down to the bottom, and so when you get down to the bottom, it's like an ice cream cone.
Right.
You know?
Right. You gotta sort of have a stream, if you will, where it's gonna drop down all the way to the bottom of the pepper, and then as it begins to fill up, you know, then you can sort of cap it off on the top. And then what we did after that is I took between a strip and half a strip of thin sliced bacon. It's got to be thin, not thick sliced, because it won't cook properly. But thin sliced bacon, you basically take, you know, there's usually sort of a stringy end to it. Take that and start wrapping it around the top portion of the jalapeno. And then take the thicker portion and then seal off the top. So it's kind of like a little lollipop of bacon goodness on top of the jalapeno popper.
So you've got a jalapeno lollipop.
Jalapeno lollipop or bacon lollipop. Anyway, it's whatever you want to call it. It's basically a popper topped with a little bit of bacon there.
Now, of course, we have a very convenient rack. It's called the ABT rack or the jalapeno rack, which stands for Atomic Buffalo.
Well, yes, okay, right.
But let's just, you know, and what they do is they stuff them. And this jalapeno rack is really neat because it has a corer, which you can stick in the jalapeno once you've cut the cap off, the top, right. And you just stick it in there and turn it all the way around. It pulls the core right out, so you get all of the seeds and all the membrane out of there. So, in other words, you've got a jalapeno pepper that people can eat without killing themselves.
Yeah, correct. And it's really, in case you haven't had your chance to order or to come in to the Big Green Egg store here and buy one, then what really you can do is take a butter knife or a table kitchen knife,
right,
and use that, and it'll do a pretty good job, but certainly not as clean of a job as the Big Green Egg's special core that comes with that jalapeno stand.
Have you used the core at home?
Oh, yeah. I use it all the time.
Yeah, it's...
Which is where my core is instead of in my chef's kit. It's in my kitchen drawer. So.
Well, I love the little mounds. I know that Emily was very distraught because she thought you were going to throw the bag of excess toppings away. So what Papa did was he seized the bag and
yes.
made 8
little meringue-shaped...
Little mountains.
These are any good.
Little mountains of... Let's see.
Well, because Miss M was really shocked. That she thought you were going to throw it away.
All right, so they're going to try the raw filling now.
Well, that's
nothing
fine.
Wrong with that. There's everything's cooked in it.
Yeah.
So,
really
so that, will that work with jalapenos and bacon? You think so?
And okay. Then with that cheese, that really gives it a nice kind of creamy.
The manchego sort of rounds it out. It gives it a little bit of sharpness to the flavor. You know, you got the sweetness of the date. You got the salt in there. You've got a little bit of sour. From the cheese, and so you get a good balance, and from the cream cheese.
Why are you looking at me?
You're pretty much sour. Anyway, so
that's just really
those
rude.
Then go on the egg on direct heat at 350, 375, something like that, until basically that bacon up on top is cooked. And it can take anywhere between 10 and 20 minutes, depending on how hot you've got your egg going. And it really is that variable, because if you're doing it before the cooking process starts with maybe other things you're doing on the egg, as opposed to after, you're going to get quite a difference in the cooking time. So what I'm going to do next is a lot of what we've done so far is prep. And I'm going to start prepping for our tomatillo salsa. So what we're doing here is I've got the tomatillos, including any liquid that drained off of them, in my blender. Okay, Mike had grilled those off on the egg, roasted them on the egg, pulled the husks off, and basically we're taking the whole tomatillo from that point. Now, Kevin, let me ask you a question.
Oh, I'm sure I've got an answer.
What family of item does this tomatillo come from? Is it related to the tomato?
Fish.
Absolutely.
It's related to the tomato?
Yeah.
Miss Emily.
Gooseberry.
Gooseberry is absolutely correct. It is part of the tomatillo is part of the gooseberry family. So
you can say what you want to. I say it looks like a little tomato, green
now,
tomato.
What I'm going to do next is I've got these tomatillos. I'm going to grab, just for the sake of a little bit of safety, I'm going to grab some.
Now, of course, tomatillos used to be very difficult. You had to go to really carnicerias to get them. But now all the major grocery store chains carry them. What they are, my friends, are real easy to find. Just go over and look in the produce section. Go over and look near the tomatoes. And they will be in a husk, and they're small and they're green, about the size of about the size of a bonnet pepper. And, and there you go. And you take the husks off, because although the husks are can be quite delicious and add some great fiber to your diet.
A little rough.
That's a little rough, yeah, exactly.
And you can choose between the ones that are in the grocery store. If they let them stay there long enough, they can turn slightly yellow rather than green, and they are 10 times sweeter than the ones that are green. So, of course, they're a little more fragile, but you have to wash the waxy coating. Once you pull the husk off, then you wash the waxy coating off, and that waxy coating is put on there by nature to detract insects and animals from eating it. It's very bitter.
You better be careful with it, man. I hope, that's going to be, that's a lot of protection you need for those bonnet peppers, because, man, if you get that on you, it is painful.
Well, I've seeded it. It's,
still pain.
It's not going to be all that bad. A Scotch bonnet or habanero pepper, which are actually not the same thing, but pretty close. They're very hot, but the seeds are the real hot part. Yes, the skin is hot, but this shouldn't be too bad. It should give a floral, citrusy, almost flavor to the tomatillo. So we'll see, and then we'll season it as we go in order to make any corrections in the heat that it's putting out. And we're going to take an onion.
Not just any onion.
Oh, absolutely. A Schumann Produce, real sweet, Vidalia onion. And let's see, no gloves and eye protection are needed for this. And why is that?
Because there are no tears.
There are no tears when you're chopping up a Schumann Produce Vidalia onion. It's amazing. It's wonderful. All right, so I'm going to take the skin off. And I'm only using about a quarter of an onion here. And just going to sort of give it a rough chop. And it's going to go right in the blender along with the habanero and the tomatillo.
Smoked tomatillo.
Yes, the roasted tomatillos. Exactly. All right, let's see. We need 3 garlic cloves. There we go. I've already cut those cloves.
You would tell the truth, because once again, you're doing the fat man specialty.
Well,
you got to be able to. It's a childproof container on there.
There we go. I sealed my garlic cloves in a twist top. 1 clove, 2 cloves, 3 cloves. Okay. Well, sorry. A little Sesame Street
humor. When we come back, the Grouch will finish up with his tomatillo salsa. What's his name, the Grouch? What was it? What was the Grouch's name?
Oscar.
Oscar.
It was the count that counted.
Okay, well.
Hence count.
Well, Count Grouch. Well, anyway, my friends, when we come back, Chef Eric is going to blend it all together and see if his tomatillo salsa really works, or if we're going to be gagging for water and bread to try to cut the searing pain of the habanero pepper. It's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life. What better way to celebrate Cinco de Mayo? I can't think of one. Well, maybe a margarita. Have fun, my friends. Oh, my friends, the sound of work in the kitchen happening as Chef Eric has got his little mini blender working away to make his salsa. Now, you know, it's kind of crazy, Chef Eric. We went down to a place in Mexico Beach, well, in Panama City, Florida, and they had tomatillo salsa. When it came out, it was bright red. And I said, bright red? How could this be tomatillo salsa? They said, wait till you try it, senor. We used many, many red peppers.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God, they did. I never knew you could change green into red, but you can. It is possible.
That's a little scary.
Oh, man. But it was good. I choked it down and crying throughout the whole meal. But, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to have one more chip, and then you run out. Can we get you another basket? Okay. Ooh.
You know the best place to get tomatillos, though?
Where?
In your own garden.
Oh, here we go.
I had about 20 tomatillo plants last year. I'll tell you, I don't know. I had bushels and bushels of tomatillos.
Really?
I had really nice purple ones, too. And
purple ones?
Yeah. They grow, you can do purple or green. And I roasted them off and made some crazy, crazy salsa. Still got some in the freezer, actually, because it made buku of the stuff. But, you know, they're so easy to grow. They grow so well in Georgia. Actually, I didn't even plant half the ones I got last year. They all came back from seed from the year before.
Wow.
So they self-seed like crazy. And, you know, then you're not paying, you know, $2 a pound for them at the grocery store. They're free.
Wow. Well, it makes me want to jump right out there and start planting. I think not.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why God created grocery stores, because that way you don't have to get your hands dirty. Nothing more despicable than those commercials. What was that? That, you know, get your hands in the dirt. Why? You know, I don't know. Do you know why, Em?
You can control what's in the soil and all that good stuff.
It's good stress relief, honestly. I mean, I go out in the garden and you know, do some hard work for a couple hours, and I come back inside and I feel less homicidal, and you know, it's good for everybody.
Less than what amount of homicidal do you normally feel?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. No, no comment.
Well, you know, well,
on
I guess
a scale of 1 to 100.
You're a pretty stressful job in the travel industry, because people always want what they want now, and they give you the last minute. And then they want the cheapest deal, and then they can't understand why the flight went from, you know, $1,500 to $4,000, and it was just 2 days ago. I mean, I imagine the stress, especially in the corporate travel world, is quite high.
It's definitely stressful, and, you know, people don't understand why they can't go, you know, from Richmond to, you know, Coeur d'Alene nonstop, you know, 15 flights a day. I mean, people have unrealistic expectations, and you get a lot of guff for that, so... It's good to just go out and, you know, stick your hands in the soil and weed and, you know, fertilize and
strangling
pick stuff.
Well, you know what? I guess there's something to be said for that. I know the she-beast likes to occasionally get one of those big planting pots, and then she'll plant a tomato plant in there or something, and then we'll harvest a few tomatoes off of it. But we, you know, they make it sound so easy. You know that upside-down thing? Where you hang it off the side and you...
Topsy-turvy. No.
I have failed more times with topsy-turvy. I think I finally got one tomato off my topsy-turvy. And the guy on TV, he gets hundreds of tomatoes off of his topsy-turvy. I'm thinking there's a scam going on there.
Yeah, I don't see how... I mean, the physics of that, I just don't see how that works.
I've actually seen people be very successful with the topsy-turvy.
Ergo, I don't plant. Because I can't even make a topsy-turvy grow right. I mean, it's wrong. But anyway, now, Chef Eric, you have taken... Now, this is an interesting twist. You've taken your tomatillo mixture and poured it into a pan?
Yeah, we're actually going to heat this up. It'll help thicken the sauce just a bit. And it'll help the flavors come together a little bit better. And then I'm added a little bit of pineapple juice, just natural pineapple juice from the pineapple. To help offset some of the heat, just to balance it off.
Wow.
And you want to do that, you know, towards the end as you're...
I don't know. There are a lot of pineapple plants down in Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, pineapple is one of the favored flavors. So, actually, if you look at many of the... that's a hot sauce. I'm just going to go
oh,
and say that.
Oh, gee. You think?
It's good. It's
well,
good.
You're smiling and looking with that churlish little grin on your face. I know that it's going to be one of those things like my buddy used to do. Oh, I want everything nuclear because we were splitting a bill,
yeah.
And I couldn't eat it. I'll have the nuclear sauce for my ribs. I can't eat that. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have known. You're that kind of person.
I would never do that, at least not knowingly. So, anyway, yeah, we heat it up, and what we put into the tomatillo, just as a reminder, is the tomatillo salsa is made up of the tomatillos itself. We added in the habaneros. We added in a quarter of an onion, a sweet Vidalia onion, chopped, just rough chopped it. Put all that in the blender with some water, about half a cup. Put in the habanero pepper. Put in some cilantro. And we blended that in the blender to get a nice, fine, you know, roughly fine sauce. Then we put it back in the pan or in a pan, heated it up, just to sort of, it comes to almost a simmering point. And it will start to thicken at this point. Now, I've shut off the fire, and I added in some more cilantro and a little bit of that pineapple juice and just stirred that in there.
Now, in my salsas in the past, and I don't know if it would be appropriate because I've never done the tomatillo,
mm-hmm.
but I always add a little vinegar, a little apple cider vinegar and a little cumin. Just to, you know, would it be too much in the tomatillo salsa, or could you possibly put that in there?
Sure, you could put cumin into just about anything and make it taste relatively authentic. However, the tomatillo salsa, personally, I just think it needs to stay away from that flavor profile.
Okay, all right.
It can enhance cumin in a dish,
uh-huh.
but you want to taste the tomatillo.
I get it. See, I had to ask the question because I know there are people either in Germany or in Turkey or in Israel that are thinking, man, I wonder if he could use apple cider vinegar and cumin. So I had to ask a question since, you know, my...
Now, to your point, though, what I did do is I added a lime that I just squeezed off quickly at the very end. And that'll do two things. One, it'll keep the brightness of the green in place, and it will give it just a little bit more acidity. There's natural acidity in the tomatillo, so you don't have to compete with it too much. But one last step that I'm going to do is I'm probably going to add just a little bit more sugar to it just to, again, to balance out that heat.
Because I could tell when you tried it, you're just, whoa. But you love that.
Oh, I love the heat. I mean, it's perfect. And it's not one of those blistering, you know, burning heats. It's one that you taste, but it's not going to, you know, burn your eyes out.
Now, just out of curiosity, did you bring any Doritos?
Doritos?
Yeah. What are we going to eat the tomatillo salsa with?
Oh, I know. I knew I forgot something. No, I'm just kidding. What we've done...
Oh, no. Don't tell me you're not going to have Doritos.
Oh, we're not going to have Doritos. What we are going to do, though, is we're going to take these little masa balls that we made. I took masa preparada, which is the prepared masa available at any Mexican carniceria. And Mike is actually going to go out... side there, and he's already got my flat tortilla griddles, which are basically cast iron about 8 inches in diameter with a handle on it, and it's flat. And what you do is you take the masa, the preparada masa, which is the prepared one, toss it in a little bit of regular dry masa, and you can create a ball. Once you create the ball, you then take one of these little contraptions, which is a tortilla press, or you can do it by hand as well, and you flatten it out. Now, when you do it on the press, you're going to get a flat, consistent in size, or relatively consistent. But you know what? It's a homemade tortilla. Don't worry about it too much, about it being perfect. Then you stick it out on the griddles there, on the cast iron griddles. And, Mike, what's the technical name of those? You remember?
Comal.
Comals. And
no, he said comals. You want cool balls.
Comal.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're in there, every kind of metal, and then right. The ones I brought back from Brazil are ceramic. Are,
you know, wow.
They're called comals, and the ones I brought back from
Brazil and Panama are ceramic, and they're ornamental, and they're handed down.
Ornamental. So, do they actually can they use them or?
Well, they sell them both as you know ornamental pieces, and then the ones that they use in the restaurants, of course, are just.
That's hard on your Christmas tree, though.
Yes.
I mean, you hang one of those things off there. Well, you have to be on the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. So, anyway.
Showcasing my vast international knowledge.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
By the way, to go along with this, just real quick, we're going to go ahead and get it on the egg. I'm going to take some chicken thighs. I'm going to toss them in Love Rub, salt, pepper, and we're going to roast them out on the egg. Mm. So, when we come back, we're going to be able to assemble a nice little chicken taco with the tortilla and the tomatillo sauce.
Well, as we told you, my friends, the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, is a Mexican holiday, and it celebrates not National Independence Day. No, no, no. It's the Battle of Puebla, which took place on, guess what day in May?
The 5th?
There you go,
okay.
In 1862. And what had happened was, in 1861, the French sent a massive army to invade Mexico. The reason they did it was because the French believed the Mexicans owed them a bunch of money. They weren't getting it, so they decided they were going to come in and roll over Mexico, get to Mexico City, take what they wanted, get their money back. Plus, well, they were better trained, they were better equipped, better everything, and they rolled all the way through without any problem. But then they hit the little town of Puebla, Mexico. And it was amazing what these people did. They are celebrating it to this day. It's called Cinco de Mayo. When we come back, more food and fun and celebrating the life. Happy Cinco de Mayo, baby.